We're going to be going to the Word of the Lord. We're going to be going to the book of Luke. So let's all stand today. We've been in Luke chapter, we were in Luke chapter 10. Now we're in Luke chapter 11. We're going to read Luke 11 verses 14 through 28. I know that's a lot of verses. That's 14 verses, but it is the Word of the Lord. So if you would just follow along with me as I read and hear the Word of the Lord today. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. And some of them said, he, meaning Jesus, casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, this is Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? A little bit of a sarcastic response there. I'm going to talk about that verse. He says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, then who in the world do your sons cast them out by? And we'll talk about that. Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God, that's also a very interesting phrase. We're going to talk about that, verse 20. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. I'm going to read that verse again, and I'm going to talk about this when I'm preaching. When Jesus says, when the strong man, he's talking about Satan and Satan and Satan's kingdom. And then when he says, one that's stronger than the strong man, Jesus is referring to himself. So it says, when a strong man, that would be the devil, fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. That's Jesus basically saying, I'm coming in and going to take down Satan's kingdom. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. And then he says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places. The King James says dry places. Waterless places, seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the person is worse than the first. And as he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, and this almost sounds off the subject, but really this is going to fit in quite nicely with the rest of this passage. A woman raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. And Jesus said, well, blessed rather are those that hear the word of God. So what I want to talk about today, I just want to go through this passage. We've been going through the book of Luke, and I just want to go through this passage, and I want to talk about cleansed and protected. Cleansed and protected. Let's worship the Lord today. Oh God, we're so thankful for you. Lord, it's an honor to be here in your presence. And God, we want to be in your presence today, Lord. We ask that you would open our minds, open our hearts, help us to know and to understand your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. So Jesus was casting out a demon, okay? Jesus was casting out a demon. And the Pharisees were there. the religious elite of that day, and they were sitting there and they wanted to be critical. And some of them accused Jesus. He said, Jesus casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. So in other words, and that's in verse 15, Luke 11, 15, they said he casts out devils by the devil. That's how he does it. And you say, and he says he casts them out by Beelzebul. And you say, well, who is Beelzebul? And no, it's not your mother-in-law. Okay. But, oh, I could preach on that for a while. But anyway, it says that he casts out demons by Beelzebul. Well, if you'll go into the Old Testament, you'll find that there's actually an Old Testament reference to Beelzebul or Beelzebub. It's called two different ways. It's the same deity. If you look at in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 1, the very beginning of 2 Kings, this is in the days of Elijah, and Ahab has died. King Ahab, remember the wicked King Ahab, he's died. And Azariah is now, Ahaziah is now king of Israel. And it says that Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria and lay sick. So he sent messengers telling them, go and inquire of who? Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Which Ekron was, nobody here has heard of Ekron, but you've probably heard of the Philistines. Remember Samson fighting the Philistines? Well, Ekron was one of their chief cities. And so Beelzebub was a god that they worshiped, that the Philistines worshiped. And he was called the god of Ekron, and his name actually meant Lord of the Flies. And they called him the Lord. They worshiped this deity called Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, and they believed that he was the Lord of Pestilence. That whenever, you know, like bugs would come and there'd be pestilence and disease, that it would be his doing. And so, when they saw Jesus casting out this demon, they remembered that God of the Philistines, Beelzebul, and they said, okay, he's using that same God that the Philistines used to worship. And Jesus turns to them and says, in verse 17 and 18, and says, you know, not so fast, boys. He says in verse 17, he says, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided house falls. And if Satan also is divided, how will his kingdom stand? So in other words, you're telling me that I'm casting out devils by having a devil. And Jesus says, no, that's, you know, Satan is not going to cast out some of his own demons. That would be the equivalent of a military general turning and shooting down his own soldiers in the middle of battle. Could you imagine that? That you're the general of an army and there's the enemy and you have your gun, and rather than shoot at the enemy, you decide to shoot some of your own men that's under you. That's what Jesus is trying to tell them. He says, no. He goes, Satan would not cast out some of his own demons, because a house that is divided cannot stand, and his kingdom would never stand. And then Jesus gets a little bit sarcastic in verse number 19 and kind of throws a little sarcasm out there. He says, so if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, whom do your sons use to cast them out? And there's this awkward silence there after he asks that question. And you say, well, what is Jesus talking about? Well, let's go to Acts 19. Let's go to Acts 19. In Acts 19, verse 13, says there was some itinerant Jewish what? So what does an exorcist do? When I was a little kid, the big movie was The Exorcist. Linda Blair. I guess I date myself. No, I have not seen it. No, I do not plan to see it. Okay, I'm not going to waste my time. But an exorcist is believed to be somebody who can cast out demons. And it says here that there were some Jewish exorcists. who undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus on those who had evil spirits. So here are these exorcists. They're going to try to cast out a demon, and they're going to use the name of Jesus, even though they don't even really believe in Jesus. So they said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims, seven sons of a Jewish high priest." These guys were of a Jewish high priest named Siva, and they were the ones that were doing this. Let's see what happened in verse 15. "The evil spirits answered them, and the evil spirit said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who in the world are you?' And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them and mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." Boy, they got, every time I read this story, I laugh. I don't know why. You'd think that I just see these guys leaving the house, man, and their clothes are all ripped and they're bruised and they just, guys, I mean, how do you go home and explain to your wives that there was seven of you and one of him, and he worked all you guys over? How do you explain that? So, were these very good exorcists? Let me put it to you this way, and we're going to get back to Jesus' answer here. I had a guy, there was a kind of a controversial preacher once, and some guys liked him, some guys didn't, and some guys came to me and they said, "Brother Wiggins, what do you think about so-and-so?" And they named this guy. They said, "Do you believe he's a real prophet or do you believe he's a false prophet?" And I told them, I said, "Neither." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "He's not a real prophet and he's not even a false prophet. He's a no prophet, man." He's just a no prophet. He's just a phony, baloney, nothing. You know, even Balaam, you know, Balaam was a false prophet. But there's some people out there that they're not true prophets. They're not prophets. Well, that's what these guys were. These guys weren't true exorcists. They weren't false exorcists. They were no exorcists, okay? They were phony, baloney guys that would charge people money to deliver, say, "Oh, I think you've got a devil in your house. Let me go get that out of you for you. And we're having our summer special today, and we can do it for $59.99. And so that's what Jesus was saying. If you can go back to that passage, Carl, where Jesus said, and like we just read about these phony baloney guys, right? So that's why Jesus says, "So if I'm casting them out by Beelzebul, whom do your sons use to cast them out?" And they had no answer to that because they all realized, yeah, the guys that call themselves exorcists are nothing but a bunch of phony baloney. And so then Jesus goes on, and he says in verse 20, he says, "But if this is by the what? The finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come to you." Let me tell you what Jesus was doing here. Does the finger of God sound familiar to anybody? There was the writing on the wall, finger, that would have been the finger of God. That's very good. Ten Commandments were written, tablets of stone, by the finger of God. But there was another time that term finger of God was invoked in the Old Testament. Does anybody remember? Remember Moses went before Pharaoh and he threw down his staff and it became a serpent? And those magicians, some way or another, managed to throw down their rods and it seemed like they became serpents as well. And they, whatever Moses would do, Moses and Aaron would do, these magicians would imitate it. Until it got to this swarm of pestilence. In fact, Carl, I've got it. It's in Exodus 8. There we go, Exodus 8. And it says that Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All of the dust of earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. And it says the magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians came to Pharaoh and they said to Pharaoh, "This, my friend, is the finger of God." Taking that dust and turning it into gnats, that is the finger of God. So here they are, Jesus is casting out a demon. They said, you're casting out demons by a demon. And he says, I think I'm going to prove to you that I'm not doing that. He says, but if I, and he reaches over and he grabs that Old Testament term. He says, if I by the finger of God. In other words, if I do this with casting out devils the same way Moses and Aaron did it, if that makes me Moses, what is it going to make your guys? It's going to make your guys like those false magicians. Again, another little barb. Another little, are you kind of seeing where we're going through this story, how this is happening? And he says, I did this by the finger of God. And then he says in verse 21, Jesus goes on and he says, when a strong man fully armed, that strong man, I already said, is Satan. When a strong man fully armed guards his palace or his house, his goods are safe. But when one stronger, that's Jesus, when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. And Jesus was saying, listen, Satan is the strong man, but I'm the stronger man. And I'm coming. And if you'll remember in the very previous chapter, we're in Luke chapter 11, but when we were in Luke chapter 10, remember Jesus, when the 72 came back rejoicing, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus said, I saw Satan. He says, when you guys were out there preaching and healing and delivering, I was watching what? He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. In other words, I saw the beginnings of his kingdom coming down and the beginnings of a new kingdom that's never going to pass away, being starting to be established and inaugurated. And that's what Jesus is talking about, that yes, Satan is a strong man. But Jesus says, I am the stronger man. And then in verse 23, he says, whoever is not against me, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. In other words, what he's saying is, there's no neutral position. When it comes to being a Christian and being a follower of Jesus, you're either in or you're out. You either do or you don't. There is no you. Jesus is saying, when it comes to following me, you're either for me or against me. There is no neutral position. And then he says, and this is kind of where we're going today. The next verse, 24, he says, when an unclean spirit is gone out of a person, it passes through waterless, dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then it says, I will return to the house that I came out of. Okay? So Jesus had just gotten done casting this demon out of this person. And he says, you know, after a demon gets cast out, he walks through dry places. And you say, well, why dry? Well, dry in the Bible, other than the book of Genesis, when you had the flood, typically rain was the blessing from God. And drought would be, you know, a place when God's not blessing. When there was drought in the land. But when there's rain, that was the blessings of God. And it says that basically the demon walks through desert places. He walks through dry places. He walks through God-forsaken, non-blessed places. And then he says, I'm going to return and I'm going to go back to the house where I was that I got kicked out of. And it says in verse 25, it says, when the demon comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other more evil than itself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. So you're saying, Brother Wiggins, this is depressing. This scares me, man. No, this is just the Bible, folks. This is just the Bible. Here's what Jesus is saying was. He says, that demon gets cast out. He walks through dry places and says, I'm going to go back to the place that I got kicked out of. And he looks and he sees it cleaned and swept. In other words, it's been, can I use the word cleansed? But not protected. Let that sink in. It was cleansed, but not protected. Now, let me just kind of go round robin here on a couple of people. Sister Kristen, Adrian is at home right now, right? At her father's. So is your house empty right now? Couple of cats, yeah. Is the door locked? Okay. But when you leave the house, you lock your doors. How about you, Robert? If the whole family goes out of town for vacation, you're going to lock that door, aren't you? You're going to lock that door. All of them. All three. There we go. You know, I'm going to tell you, not to go on a rabbit trail here, but I'm going to tell you the worst feeling. And it happened to me a couple nights ago. As I was in bed, and I was thinking, this feels so good to lay here. And it's just that moment of euphoria right before you fall asleep, where you're so relaxed, and it feels so good. And just as my eyes were going to sleep, I realized, I forgot to lock the front door. Get out of bed, walk all the way down the stairs, go to the front door, only to find out Sister Wiggins locked it. It was locked. But here's the deal. Relating what we're talking about is that that demon goes back to that house, finds it cleaned, cleansed, but not protected, not secured. And then the demon says, okay, I'm going to go get 7 demons stronger than me. I'm back. And bear in mind, remember how Jesus cleansed the temple, the house of God, at the very beginning of his ministry? And then went back at the end of his ministry and had to cleanse it a second time. We've talked about that before. If you want to tie this into that, there actually is a bit of a tie. But the deal is, Jesus was talking about a demon going out of a person and then coming back. And he says, you know, they were cleansed, but not secured, not protected. And then here's the thing that it sounds like somebody's changing the subject, but they're not. Look at the very next verse, verse 27, and verse 27 and 28. It says, at the very beginning of this verse, notice what it says. It says, as he said these things. So while he was talking about this house being cleansed, but not protected, not secured, while he's talking about that, some person butts in, okay? And I don't know about you, I hate it when people butt in, but somebody butted in. And it says, a woman in the crowd, that while Jesus was talking about this house, you know, not being clean but not secured, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you. In other words, Jesus, blessed be your biological mother. Blessed be the woman that biologically, that her DNA matches, and that blessed be your biological mother. And Jesus said, well, blessed rather are those that hear the word of God. And what? Here's the connection. Here's the connection. And this is where it all kind of comes together for it. Jesus was talking about a person that had a demon. The demon got cast out. The demon walks through dry places, then comes back and sees that the house, the inside of this person, is cleaned and swept and in order, but unprotected, unsecured. Then that demon goes, gets 7 others and comes back. And what Jesus said is, and you're saying, well, because the question you would ask is, well, how do I protect my house? And I'm not talking about our physical, I'm not talking about, sheetrock and wood. I'm talking about the temple of our bodies, okay? How do we protect our house? Remember, it said, as Jesus was talking about this thing, so these words right here have to do with that. Blessed are those that hear the word of God. That's how you protect your house. That's how you protect yourself. You don't just let Jesus deliver you, but you let you become a disciple and you become a follower of Jesus. You're not just looking for Jesus to touch you and to help you out of your present situation. You're going to hear the word of God, but then you're going to do it. You're going to keep right on going. You remember that? Remember those lepers that came? In fact, Carl, I think I've got it in my notes. There was those 10 lepers that came to Jesus. And Jesus cleansed those lepers. Remember that? And then one of them came running back to him. And when that one came running back, Jesus said, where's the other 9? Aren't they coming back? He said, Lord, I'm the only one that came back to thank you. You know what? Some people, They want to be delivered. They want to be cleansed. But then they want to go on with their normal life and just leave Jesus back on the shelf. And I want to tell you right now, and I'm not shouting this, but I mean, please take this to heart. There are many people that love having Jesus right over here on the shelf for when you need him. It's like, okay, you know what? Don't worry about Jesus. Don't worry about it, Lord. I've got everything under control. Everything's just fine. I'll handle it all. But when things get out of control, Jesus, take the wheel. Okay. That's not true Christianity. You know, I think I've told this story before in the church. When we were pastoring down in Chowchilla, there was a little boy that started coming to our Sunday school. Leukemia. And man, you talk about it just breaking our hearts. I think his aunt, one of his aunts would bring him to Sunday school. And he would come into Sunday school and, you know, he had no hair on his head because he had had all the chemo and all of this. And man, that just, I would go home at night and I remember not every night, but some nights laying in my pillow. I didn't even know this boy, but I just weep for this little four-year-old boy. You know what? Our church got under the burden and we started praying. And every service, Wednesday or Sunday morning or Sunday night, if we had prayer requests, somebody would always raise their hand and say, let's pray for Kevin. Let's pray for Kevin. Let's pray that God. Did you know what? We prayed for that boy hard. And would you believe that about 90 days later, he went to the doctor and the doctor just says, I don't know how to explain this, but there is no leukemia. It's gone. It's over. It's through. Remission. Complete and total. You remember that Sister Wiggins? Sister Wiggins, let me ask you, how many times did his mom and dad visit our church? They got what they needed. Then let's just go on our merry way. Just like those 10 lepers, they came to Jesus. They needed to be cleansed of their leprosy. As soon as they got what they wanted, 9 of those 10 said, okay, I don't need Jesus anymore. I'm going. And Jesus was saying, he was relating this. He says, it's like when a person has an unclean spirit and that unclean spirit gets cast out and this person is delivered. But then after they are delivered, that's all they want and they go right on their merry way and they don't ever try to be a follower of Jesus. All they do is just, yeah, he helped me out. And if I ever get in another jam again, I know who to pray to. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not a little cross you wear around your neck to where you can just say, oh, here, let me rub this little cross and get something going here, man, because I've got, you know, a prop, because I've got a, you know, somebody in the hospital. No, that's not what it's like. Because those kind of people that they get cleansed and they get delivered, but then they never become a follower. That demon comes back and says, oh, I see the house is all clean and orderly, but unsecured, unprotected. You know what? I want to be the kind of Christian that I want to be a follower. I want to be a follower of Jesus. Not just, the only time I pray, sometimes, I'm going to tell you, there's some people, the only time they ever pray is when they're in a jam. That's the only time they ever pray. It's when they're in a jam, when somebody's in the hospital, or when something really bad is wrong. And Jesus was saying, no, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, that's the way you protect your house. That's the way you protect your soul, is that you don't just hear the word of God, but after you've heard the word of God and you've been cleansed and you've been delivered, then you keep the word of God. You become a disciple. Do you remember that? Remember that demoniac, the guy that had the legion of demons? And remember Jesus said, what's your name? And he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Remember that story? And then remember, Jesus delivered that man of those demons. And if you look in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. He was sitting there at the feet of Jesus. In other words, after he got delivered, what did he do? He started becoming a follower. Okay? There was, if you look in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, It says, when he arose up early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had what? Cast out seven demons. Mary Magdalene, after she got delivered, what did Mary Magdalene start doing? Who was standing at the foot of the cross with Mary's, with Jesus' mother when Jesus died? Mary Magdalene. Who was the very first witness of the resurrection? Why? Because she was a follower. She didn't just get delivered. It's like, yeah, I got delivered. But now, rather than go about my merry way, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. So many people, after they get that initial experience of being delivered, after they get that initial experience of being cleansed, amen, then they want to go right about their merry lives. No, now it's time to follow Jesus. Just like Jesus says, blessed are those that hear my words and keep them. Those are the ones that, you know what, their house is going to be protected. Their house is going to be secure because they, and I want to tell you, I don't want to read between the lines here. I'm not saying this is true. But you remember that story of blind Bartimaeus? Remember blind Bartimaeus was sitting there alongside the road by Jericho, and Jesus came walking by. And he started raising up his voice saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Remember that story? If you go to Matthew and read Matthew's account of it, does anybody remember what's different about Matthew's account of that? There was two. It wasn't just blind Bartimaeus. It was two men that were blind. The other gospel accounts don't even mention the other. And I thought, well, why don't the other gospel accounts mention the other guy? I don't know, but I just wonder, did that guy not become a follower? I'm just assuming here. I don't know. If you look, I talked about that the legion, the man that had many devils. If you read that in Mark, you read about a guy that had a bunch of devils. But when you read about it in Matthew, what do you find? Two guys. It wasn't one guy out living in the graveyard, possessed by a bunch of devils. There was two guys. There was two. But how come the other gospel accounts of that story only mention the one guy? I don't know. But I can't help but wonder if one of them became a follower and the other, as soon as he got delivered, just went on his merry life. So what I'm encouraging us as a church today is let's don't be happy with just being cleansed. Let's don't be happy with just being delivered. Let's be followers of Jesus. Let's be followers. Let's follow him. You know, we're here on Sunday, and it does my heart so good to just see people in here gathered, and just it's a good feeling in this place, and it does my heart good. And I'm so thankful that you're faithful and come here. But you know, let's also follow him on Monday morning. Let's follow him on Tuesday. Let's be a follower of Jesus on Thursday, not just Sundays and Wednesday nights. This is a life, folks. But there are so many people that as soon as they get delivered, that's all they want of Jesus. Jesus, get me out of this jam. And that woman said, Lord, let's all stand today. That woman, she said, blessed is the woman that bore you. Blessed is the woman that gave birth to you. And Jesus said, well, really, the ones that are really blessed are the ones that hear the word of God, and they don't just hear it, but they do it. They live it. And church, the last thing, just bringing this down for a landing. So desperately, what Tim Wiggins wants and searches for and reaches for is authenticity.
being genuine.
I want to live a true Christian life. I don't want to come in here and say one thing over this pulpit, but then go out there and live another totally different way. I want to live the life. Jesus says, blessed are those that hear the word of God, and they don't just hear it, but they do it. They believe it. They live it. Let's live the life. Let's live the life. Let's be Christians. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Jesus. God, I praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. God, we need you, Jesus. Just stay where you are. We're not going to have a... We're not going to come up front today. Just stay where you are. And Sister Wiggins is going to sing a little song. Let's just spend a little bit of time and let's just seek the Lord today. Let's call on Him. Lord Jesus.
I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away to you.
Let's all stand today. Glory to God. Amen. God, we thank you, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, that we were able to gather here today. This was indeed a blessing. This was an honor and a privilege to be here today. Lord, we pray that your word will go down deep in our hearts. And Lord, let your word produce fruit in us, Lord, that we can be more like you, that we can walk before you and walk with you and truly be followers and not just cleansed, not just delivered, but followers of you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's...